Hey, Serena. What's up, guys? Y'all are recording right now? Oh, you better stop and start over. Stop and start over. That's good, huh? I'm giving the Holy Ghost a chance. If he wants to change anything, I'm giving him an opportunity to change it. That's all I'm doing. You know, Jesus wrote in the sand for a reason, right? Whenever that lady was brought to him, they were going to stone. People have asked me, what are you writing in the sand? I have no clue. Don't care. Bible didn't tell us, so it really doesn't matter. The point is that he gave the Spirit of God time to tell him how to handle what was in front of him. So sometimes we need this that we're in right now in the middle of our day just so we know how to handle what's in front of us. Give the Holy Ghost enough time to tell us what to do. Because we don't always know what to do, right? Or some of y'all might have arrived. I don't know what to do. Some of y'all are probably more spiritual than I am, and that's great. God bless you. But I like to hear from the Holy Ghost, amen? I want to hear from Him, what He's got to say, what He's wanting to do. All right, well, Lord, I'm going to jump in, and you just doing. If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Yes. We'll go to verse 6. So, if you would, you like that? That's real churchy. If you would, turn in your Bibles. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say that it's really, really, really hard. It doesn't say it's okay if you don't have faith. God loves you anyway, and He'll just do for you anyway just because He loves you. It doesn't say that you could try real hard. It doesn't say that it's just hard to please Him. It doesn't say that it's really, really difficult, but if you hang in there without faith, you will eventually please Him. That's not what it says. It says without faith. It is absolutely 100% every time impossible to please Him. Impossible. That word is hardly ever used in the Word of God whenever it's referring to God. I mean, we're talking about Jehovah here. We're talking about the creator of everything we see, touch, and feel. But yet for Him, it's impossible for Him to get pleasure out of someone that does not have any faith. Now, faith, as Martin Luther King Jr. said this, he said that faith is taking the first step, not being able to see the rest of the staircase. And I've got books at the house, and I've got little CDs, and I probably even have a tape series somewhere from way back. Those of you that don't know, it's cassette, and it's this little thing. You put it in this little other little deal, and there's this piece of black tape had the music and the words and the sound on it. And that tape went through, and that's where the sound came from, and it came through the speakers, okay? Cassette tapes. Huh? Can't pull it. Yeah, you got to have a pencil to turn it and do all that. Cassette tapes. Anyway, they talk about the steps of faith. The steps of faith. Faith has these steps. There's steps of faith. Here's the 10 steps of faith. Here's your 12-step system to get the desired results. Here's your 8 steps to get to... No. Not for me. Faith has always been the step itself. Because in my mind, if you're willing to commit to go ahead and take the step, then you're already in faith. You're already in there. And to take this step and that step and hold your mouth right and turn around, put your hand in, put your arm out, put your arm back in, and you turn yourself about, you do the hokey pokey, and yeah, that's what it's all about. We think that's the way faith works. We really truly believe that if you do this, 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 and this, then you're in faith. Well, I'm sorry, wrong. It's not that. Faith is simply taking the step when you don't see the rest of the outcome in front of you, but you know that that step that's in front of you is the one you need to take. Faith is a leap. Faith is a step. I've had two people tell me, so I'm going to bring the movie up, Indiana Jones. Huh? And the Last Crusade. Isn't that right? Wasn't that called the Last Crusade with Sean Connery in there? Yes, yes. The penitent man is the one that gets through, right? So he had to get down on his knees and the disc came over his head. The other one came to the floor and he went through, right? And then the next one was the leap of faith is what they called it, right? And remember, Indiana Jones is looking out across that chasm and he's like, man, I got to, you know, and his dad's out there about to die. And he's like, you got to have faith. You got to have faith, son. You know, and Indiana Jones is like, man, I don't know. It's the faith. And so he picks up his foot, right? You remember that? And he makes the step, and as soon as he steps in, he sees that there was like an optical illusion, that there really was a bridge there. You just couldn't see the bridge because it looked like part of the chasm. And so he turned around. Remember, you know, he turned around and he threw dust on it so he could find his way back, whatever came back. Or the people that were following him behind could follow him through. It's a step or a leap of faith. And so whenever we go to take that step of faith, that step, that's it. Faith got one step. That's all. Just do it, right? However, in that step, there's a lot of stuff that happens up here that you got to know about. It's kind of like phases of faith, you know? It's like you go from the, if I decide I want to take a step, my brain sends a signal to the muscles in my legs and my feet and up in my hip to pick my foot up, swing it out, shift the weight in my body onto the other foot and move, right? You with me? There's like this process thing. There's like these different phases that you go through. And it's the same thing whenever we're walking by faith. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be pleasing to God. I mean, I want to have a life that's pleasing to God. You want to know why? When you got a life that's pleasing to God, you know, things kind of tend to work out for you. All right, I'm going to say that again. When you got a life that's pleasing to God, things just kind of tend to work out for you. It just seems to work out. Now, that doesn't mean that bad stuff don't happen. Like Ginger was just talking about, that don't mean that the storms don't come. Storms going to happen. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I always believe the glass is half full, it's not half empty. But I'm going to tell you right now, problems are coming. We live in a fallen world, all right? We don't have control. The control of this thing was turned over to the enemy years ago. There's sin in this world. There's sin in the air that you breathe. It's just there. What we have to do is deal with it properly. And what I've seen so many times in the Christian world, and not so much here, but a little bit here, is that we're not dealing with what's out there properly. And because we're not doing it by faith, it's not a life that's pleasing to Him. And if it's not a life that's pleasing to Him, man, it's a rough life. It's tough. I mean, it's almost like you don't want to be saved no more. Man, forget this mess. I ain't doing this no more. I mean, is that just me or none of y'all? Oh, y'all are all holy. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, y'all holy. Yes, yes. No, Pastor Greg, that's not me. I don't do that. Okay. Good deal. Well, I have been there. I've been there. What I've been like, you know what, Lord? This is a bunch of malarkey. It's some horse doo-doo. I'm done with it. You know? I'm done with this, man. So, we're going to look at some stuff. Okay. All right. Phase one. You got to believe in God. Period. Because look, what does it say? For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is. Period. Not only that he is and that he exists, but he is whatever you need him to be, fill in the blank. I mean, he even told Moses, whenever Moses said, hey, Lord, who? I mean, I go tell him that you want to talk to him, that you want, you know, you sent me, but I mean, who you want me to say you are? I mean, I don't even know your name, Brad. And God said to him, he said, just say that I am sent you. And Moses was like, cool, all right, I am sent me. Because God is everything that you need God to be, period. He could be your mama, he could be your daddy, he could be your best friend, he could be your deliverer, he could be your healer, he could be your provider, he could be anything you need him to be. Anything. So that's the first step in this whole faith deal. You have got to believe that there is a God. And not only is there a God, but believe that he can be everything you need him to be, no matter what. That's it. Phase one. Everybody say phase one. Faith won. Faith won. Faith won. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. You got to believe that God is. You got to believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Man, there's a lot in there. Here we go. So Jesus answered and said, now here, Mark 11, this is the one where He spoke to the fig tree. And then after He spoke to the fig, this Jesus spoke to the fig tree. After He spoke to the fig tree, He went and chased the people out of the temple. It's one of my favorite spots in the Bible because it showed Jesus like really is a real person. He's not om shalom, lom, you know. He didn't float, you know. He was a real dude who had to go to the bathroom and all kinds of stuff, just like us. He had to go potty. So He goes and He chases all the people out of the temple, right? Turns over the table. Some people even say He might have acted a fool. No, He just knew what was right. Yeah? Sometimes something's just right. And when it's right, it's right. And it's right. And so He just took care of it. He took care of business. Read it. I mean, if y'all don't believe me, read it. But we ain't going to look at that. So this is on the way back. And they see that fig tree that Jesus talked to. And Peter said, look, that thing's dried up from the roots. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered to them and said, have faith in God. Phase one. Oh, my goodness gracious. Jesus understood it. For assuredly, I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and it will be yours. You'll have those things. Phase number two is when you decide that you believe God is real and that He can be anything that you need Him to be, and you're in the process of taking your faith step, you've got to realize that your mouth has more to do to this thing than anything else right now. Okay, anything else right now? When you're in the middle of the fight, what is your mouth saying? Because the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth will speak. I mean, if you really want to know who you are, really want to know what kind of life you're living, go out on the interstate, almost have a wreck, and see what come out your mouth. Because in a tight spot, some of you are like, shh, you know, what the, you know. I mean, that's me some days, you know. I'll be flipping people off. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. I ain't flipped nobody off in 3 days. See, the problem with the church is that we think that God's in control. That's our problem. God's in control. Brother, God's in control. Bunch of bull crap. If He's in control, He's doing a piss poor job of running this earth. No, God ain't in control. He ain't at all. Can He control you? Can He make you do anything? Oh yeah, Lord, make you do anything. No, He can't. He can't make you get up and get to church on time. How many seats we got empty in here? He can't make anybody do anything. What we have to realize is while we're in the step of our faith, look at this thing. Back up one more time. Go to verse 23. Verily I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed. Now that's the person is talking to the mountain. Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, talking about you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Nowhere does it say, and then God takes control. And then God comes in and takes control and does. No, it says that you will have what you say. So when we're in the phases of our faith step that we're trying to take here, and we'll use healing as an example. By the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed or you are healed. Isaiah and 1 Peter. You say, the Bible says that you can have some healing. You believe that thing. You believe that God is your healer. In Israel, they call him Jehovah Rapha. That means the healer. He can be that. So you believe in Jehovah Rapha, and you're going to step, even though the doctors are saying this, the doctors said, you're going to make a faith step to believe the Bible instead of whatever the world's trying to tell you. And in the middle of this step, you're believing this thing, but what starts coming out of your mouth is about how bad off everything is. Well, I went to the doctor, and it was this. And just, I don't know. I'm just not real sure. What the crap? What is that? I'm not real sure. I don't know, man. You just don't know. You don't know what God's going to do. What do you mean what God's going to do? God is waiting on you to start using your mouth to change your situation. Because you're the one that says to the mountain, be thou removed, thou cast. You're the one that opens your mouth. You're the one that moves your tongue. And you're the one that helps create an atmosphere that you're trying to get into. Is this clocking at all, or do we just need to go eat? Y'all with me? It's a step of faith. And in that step of faith, if you're not careful, you can be believing God for one thing, and saying something completely opposite of where you're trying to get to. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. I'll show you what I'm talking about here. We're not going to go to it because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says that we believe, and when we believe, whatever we believe, we're going to say. We believe a thing, and so we say it. So we speak it because we believe it. Look at this thing. This is verse 8, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? Well, it says this right here. It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Praise the Lord. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now look at that thing. Back it up. You went too quick. The word is near you where? In your what? And in your what? In your heart. Man, that's where it is. That's where the word is near you and it's in your mouth. And that is the word of what? Faith in which we preach. Now you go verse 9. There you go. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto sozo or salvation, which is everything and anything that you might need in this life is rooted and grounded in that word. This is, if somebody says they want to get saved, we'll snatch them and we'll get them to say, all right, you say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you raised from the dead. And you get people, they have that moment of belief and they don't know what to do with it. You have to get them to, they need to speak it out of their mouth to pronounce that thing to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Changes all of eternity. So why would anything else that we do for the rest of our days be any different? It's to believe a thing and then to speak that thing out of your mouth. I mean, because really the truth being is that whenever somebody believes in their heart that Jesus raised them from the dead and they're willing to come up front and they're taking this step of faith and they're in this process of this thing, that there's no commitment until they speak it out of their mouth. It has to come out of their mouth. There's an enunciation. There's an oath that takes place. There's a contract that's made at that point where God says, yes, you believe what I say. I believe what you say. Me and you are now in a contract. We now have a covenant relationship, and everything I got, I'm just going to pour it out on you. You ready? You ready? Here it is. Here it is. All because the word gets in our heart and it gets in our mouth. It comes out of our mouth. What would it be if you walked up and you came to the front to get saved? And everybody that's in here that's saved, think about that moment. And you came up, you walked up front. I'll talk about myself. I'll go up front, 13 years old, 1987, in March. And I walk up there, and I got the thing going in my stomach. I just know. I'm like, man, I believe this stuff. I don't understand why, but I believe this stuff, man. I'm just excited. I don't know what to do. I've never felt this way before. You know what I'm talking about? And the dude says, man, I need you to pray this prayer. Okay. Say, Lord Jesus. Okay, Lord Jesus, I believe. Man, I'm not sure if I believe. You follow me? That God raised you from the dead. Well, I'm not sure if he did that or not. And although I had the cheer bumps and the feeling and I walked up to the front and all that kind of thing, without confessing Jesus as my Lord, I have not entered into the contract of salvation. Yeah. Y'all with me? Yeah. It's the same thing with anything else that we do in our lives where we're using faith. We're trying to live a life that's pleasing unto God, and we're taking a step of faith, and we say that we're in faith, right? Here's why I'm on this thing. It's got everything to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with nobody else in this building. This is me. I have been having failures of faith in my life, and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? I preach this stuff, man. I preach this stuff. What? Wait a minute. Something's missing here. Got to get back to the basics, Greg. That's what he said. Get back to the basics. You want to win a football game? How you win a football game? Blocking, tackling. That's it. If you can block right, you can tackle right, you'll win the game every time. That's all you got to do. Block and tackle. Block and tackle. Everybody does their block it, tackling. You got to boom. I mean, yeah, there's plays and things you got to run, but if you block, you can tackle, you can win a football game. That's just the way it works. And so God was like, you got to get back to the basics of this thing. So we're believing God for healing. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with going to a friend and saying, look, I need you to pray with me. I've been believing God for 6 months for my headaches to go away. And I'm still hurting. And I need you to believe and pray with me and help me. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with after you say that prayer with those people and you believe that God has healed you. Oh, I believe that, you know, I believe I receive. And then go over here and just like, man, somebody else asks you, how you doing? Well, I don't know, man. My head's been hurting. You know, somebody just prayed for me at the church. I don't know if it's going to work or not. SMCCAM folks, and it was Greg. Paul wasn't there. And you know, I'm just not real sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is this making sense? Y'all tracking with me on this? Yeah. Watch your mouth. Every last one of you, whoever raised you, your mama, your daddy, your granny, your auntie, told you to watch your mouth. For real. Watch your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to talk. Whatever's coming out, that's what's in you. It's real easy in here. But when you get home, whatever come out of your mouth, that's what's in you. God bless you. And that's up to you to figure that one out. I can't judge you. That ain't my deal. You got to judge yourself, get yourself straight. I'm trying to work on Greg. Greg trying to get right. Y'all with me? Speaking. You got me? Third part of this deal, and then I'm going to shut up. Third part of this deal, go back to Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be it cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This right here, folks, although the speaking has something to do with it, it's got something to do with it. But this right here is where 99% of the Christian population misses it in following after God. Because all of us, It's the doubt in your heart. It's this doubt that creeps in. It's these thought processes that are contrary to what the Word of God says that take you over into an area of doubt. Now, what does the word doubt mean? I love Merriam-Webster because you can find out what stuff means. Doubt means this: to be uncertain about something. You're uncertain. Yeah, I got faith, I got faith, I got faith. But whenever you get home at night, you lay down in the bed, that little spot that you don't talk to, man, I'm just not really sure. Look at this. To believe that something may not be true or is unlikely. How many of us, and I say us, have thought in our brain while we're trying to believe God for something that it's unlikely it'll happen? That's doubt, y'all. And it's a trick of the enemy to try to get you off. Because it does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will come to pass. You can be saying all day long and saying all day long and saying all the right stuff, but still have that doubt hidden in your heart where you think that something is unlikely not going to happen. And so I ask myself the question, where does this come from? Because it's not a doubt that God will do a specific thing. How many of y'all in here believe that God can do just about anything but lie? I'm serious now. I mean, if there's some other things that you feel like God can't do, we need to talk. He can pretty much do anything but lie. He can't do anything outside the compass of his word. He has to operate within the contract that he's given us. Okay, so I'll go with that one. Anything else y'all come up with that he cannot do? Seriously, anybody? Going once, going twice? Sold. Okay, so we'll just go with that, okay? We'll say there's two things God can't do. He can't operate outside his word, and he cannot lie. Because if he lied, then his word is untrue, and the whole world, the universe, is based on what he says, and so everything that we see, touch, and feel will exist it will cease to exist. It will stop. It'll be done. Because it's all based on what God said, and if he's a liar, then all the trees are going to die tomorrow, you know, because his word's no good. So y'all with me? Two things God can't do. So our problem is not whether or not God can do the thing that we're believing for. The question is whether or not God will do that thing for me. That's where we get to. We get to a spot where we feel like we're unworthy. We ain't holy enough. We ain't been living right. Yeah, I smoked a joint last week. I looked at some pornography on the internet. I talked trash to somebody. I flipped somebody off 3 days ago, right, driving down the road. That's where we end up at in the big middle of this thing. And so when we're in the process of taking our step of faith, we're in this thing. Man, God could do anything. Man, I'm going to start talking about the things he do. But wait a minute. Will he do it for me? Because I'm so unworthy. Huh? There are pastors across the... No, they're done now. They're eating. They're not preaching now. They were preaching 30 minutes ago about how unworthy everybody was that was stinking in there. And don't get me wrong. My own righteousness is of filthy rags, and everything that I've done is dung, is doo-doo. Okay? That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said about his own unrighteousness. And he said everything that he does, he counted it as dung. Dung is doo-doo. Okay? So, that's what the word says. That's, read your Bible. But what Jesus has done is Jesus has taken all of that and said, you know what? I'm going to go, God, send me down there. I'm going to go and I'm going to live perfect. I'm going to do everything the absolute best right way that it could be done. Then, as your perfect lamb, I will be sacrificed. I will be cut wide open. I will bleed out my blood for full legal payment of all the sins and all the shortcomings of all of mankind from now until the end of time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I will do that, Lord. God, I will step down there, and everything that I build myself to be, all of this living right and doing right and not making any mistakes and being absolutely perfect in the world, I will take that and I will give all of that to them. Are you there yet? 2 Corinthians 5, 21. I sprung that one on you. Anybody there? Y'all there in your Bibles? Oh, here it is. Look, check it out. Look on the screen. For me, he made him. All right, now let's not get caught up in the he's. For he, talking about God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. He did everything absolutely 100% right. He completely fulfilled the law. All 10 commandments, plus the other 120 that the Levites passed down. He did it all. Knew no sin. Made him to be sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in Jesus, in him. This scripture set me free for the rest of my days. Although I screw up and mess up, and man, I will mess some stuff up. I tell you what, the Lord is constantly working with me, trying to get me, help me get to a spot where I'm doing things right. Even though I mess up, Jesus is willing to step down and go, let me take that nasty, and here's some good righteousness. That's mine right there. And then I screw up again, and he goes, here, let me have that too. I'll take that too. Here, you take some of that. And then I screw up again, so, oh, I got that. Here, you take some of that. And what the enemy does is the enemy tries to trick you into thinking that you're so unworthy, and it ain't got nothing to do with you. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all. You know, I mean, he did every bit of it. Jesus laid down his life, bled out his blood, hung on a cross, 3 days in hell, and then rose again so that you would not have to look at your conduct to find out if you were good enough or not to experience what God has prepared for you. My God. Where my folk at? Serena, I'm going to need you, girl, because that song's too high for me. Who else you got? Steven? Steven, come play six string, man. You can do it, huh? You mind? All right. Acoustic. Yeah, he wanted to get up here so bad. He didn't want to do it himself. Do y'all see him during praise and worship? He's wanting to get up there. All right, it's late. If you got to go, go, please. All right, I don't ever want to be the one holding somebody up. And if you would, Justin, let's put up that song, Blameless, real quick. The enemy is going to try to trick you into thinking that you're not good enough for what God has prepared for you. Doubt will kill faith in a minute, in a heartbeat. And he makes you doubt yourself. He makes you doubt you. And that's where the trick is. That is the play that the enemy has been running for decades, for years, for centuries. He's been running that same play over and over and over and over again in the lives of Christians. Has even used pastors to help get that thing done. Has used entire denominations to help get that thing done. Whenever the Bible clearly tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we could be righteous. So that we can be made right in his sight. So that we can have good relationships. We can go to God as if sin never existed. As if our history was not there. He just wipes it all out. He blots it all out. Doesn't even look at it. He looks at what Jesus did. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. When you say that, Jesus steps between you and God. And it's like Jesus is receiving from God. And there's not one prayer that Jesus has ever prayed that was not answered. Every prayer he has ever prayed was answered. So when you pray, it's like Jesus is praying. When you lay hands on your kids, it's like Jesus is laying hands on your kids. When you hug people and you come in contact with people in life, it's like Jesus is touching them. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you smoked a joint on the way in. I don't care. And neither does God. He looks on Jesus, man. That's who he looks at. Don't let the enemy stop you from receiving what God has for you and your family just because of something you screwed up 10 years ago. You let that thing go. You get rid of it right now. You let it go. Look at these words. Now go to the chorus, man. I want the chorus, Justin. This is what God says about you because he's looking at Jesus when he looks at you. We become the righteousness of God in Jesus. You're blameless. He calls you holy because that's what Jesus is. He says that you're forgiven. Why? Because Jesus is forgiven. He calls you righteous and free. Right? Because he's looking at you as if you're Jesus. Keep going. He says that you're spotless. And he calls you. He says that you are worthy. Why? Because of what you've done? No, because of what Jesus did. He calls you his child because of what Jesus did. He calls you chosen because of what Jesus did. That's what God says about you. I don't care what the enemy says about you. And I don't care what you say about you. I don't care what your family says about you. I don't care what the paper says about you. I don't care what anybody says about you. What matters is what Jehovah has to say about you. That's what matters. So let's stop the enemy right now. Y'all with me? I'm tired of him stopping faith from working. I'm tired of hearing the same troubles over and over and over again. I'm tired of it. We're going to draw a line in the sand today. We're going to say we're done. As far as we're concerned, we may not be perfect. We may not always be right, but dadgum it, Jesus is. And he stands in the gap for me every single time. And he makes a way for me every single time. And he is in him. I live, I move, and I have every bit of my being is in him. And today is the day that I change my life, my attitude, the way I think, the way I talk, the way I walk. And I'm walking and talking in Jesus. and I will experience the greatest that God has for me, for my family, for my kids, my mama, my daddy, my wife, my aunt, my uncle, everybody that's associated with me will be better off because I'm willing to say yes. I screwed up, but Jesus didn't. He didn't mess it up. Y'all sing that one time for him. I don't want anybody standing or anything unless you want to. We're going to make this a very non-religious activity, very non-traditional. You stay where you at or not. You get up and, or sit down if you want to. Doesn't matter to me. But what I want you to do is sing this song with him and sing it from your heart. He calls you spotless. That's what he calls you. Y'all go ahead.
Now blame.